Welcome to the Social Impact Solutions podcast, where we help mission-driven leaders measure and market their social impact so they can raise more money and do more good. I'm Lauren.
And I'm John Mark. Together, we bring you expert insights, practical strategies, and real-world stories to help you create more meaningful and measurable change. This podcast is designed for purpose-driven leaders. So let's dive in, explore what's possible, and take your mission to the next level.
So listen in today as we talk about the importance of impact measurement and how softwares like Sure Impact can help nonprofits and social good organizations measure and communicate their impact. Hi, Sherry. Welcome back to the Social Impact Solutions podcast. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me back, Lauren. I'm always excited to talk to you.
Absolutely. I feel the same way. It's always great to talk to you and anyone on the Sure Impact team. Social Impact Solutions and Sure Impact have a lot in common. And it's always great to talk to someone with a very common perspective around impact measurement, the value of that specifically for nonprofit organizations. So really excited to have you on the podcast again. I think this is at least your second podcast episode with us. We've done webinars in the past, so always fun and very valuable to have a conversation with you. Would love to hear from you just what's going on in your world over the last several months and sort of just maybe a quick recap of what things have looked like at and with Sure Impact over the course of 2025 now that we're in early 2026.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's been, if you're in and around the nonprofit ecosystem in the last 12 months, you definitely know that it's been a bit of a wild year. And that would be true, I think, from the Sure Impact perspective as well. But we have a lot of hope and a lot of optimism. So that's how I want to lead with today's conversation, is that that's what we are sensing people feeling right now, although we've gone through a period of great disruption and great uncertainty in terms of funding sources. But we're starting to feel like we're beginning 2026 with a lot of great hope and optimism. And so we can dive into to why we're feeling that as well. Sure Impact is a technology platform that helps nonprofits have access to real-time impact data. So we help them track and collect what they do, how well they do it, and how people and communities are better off. And so from a kind of what we're working on side, Sure Impact has provided, we've over 2025 made some significant enhancements and improvements. For example, now you can issue surveys, like follow-up surveys and other things right through our platform, making gathering that data and analyzing that data in real time so much better. So that's a little bit of kind of personal news and what we've been working on, but we're really here to talk about the listeners and what they're going through and how we can help them have a great 2026.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, I'm excited to hear more about Sure Impact enhancements and features, as it is a great tool that our team greatly appreciates from more of the consulting side and helping nonprofits really determine what metrics are they trying to measure? How do they capture that? How do they analyze and report on that consistently? So before we go any further, something that you and I do quite often is just start by really defining what we mean by nonprofit impact. And so I say it all the time. You say it all the time, but would love for you to just share with our listeners what you and I mean when we're talking about nonprofit impact.
Yeah, and I appreciate the opportunity to say it again. If you are listening and you're super fans of Lauren and Social Impact Solutions or me and Sure Impact, you likely have heard us say this. But I think it is important because I do get on calls, as I'm sure you do, every single day, and you know, people have a different definition, or they don't really know what they mean when they say impact. So when I'm talking about impact, first, it's really helpful for me to tell you what I don't mean. and the two things that I want everyone to understand is that impact is not the number of people you serve. And I know that's maybe people are gasping and like, what do you mean it's not the number of people I serve, especially if you're a board member? I hear board members all the time when they talk about the impact of a nonprofit they serve on, you know, referencing, well, we served, you know, 1,000 children this year. And although that's an important metric and one you can continue to talk about and track, you don't want to stop there, because impact is really, how did you change the lives and circumstances for those children? how many children you served is just an outcome. I mean, an output, sorry. It's just an output, right? It's just a count of what you did. It doesn't mean you've made anyone better off. So again, impact is not the number of people you served, and impact is also not the number of dollars raised. I will only give you a pass if you're a fundraising entity, and that is your 100% sole mission is to raise money to give it away to something else. Then I'll let you claim how much money you raised as your sole metric of impact. But most nonprofits, especially those that we work with, are delivering services to individuals. And so the money they raise is just basically an input that they use to deliver those services. Anything you would add in addition to how you define impact?
I think we have very similar definitions. I completely agree with everything that you just said. I agree. Number of people served is not an outcome or an impact. Number of supplies distributed is another one we see a lot. Number of courses or workshops provided. Those are all outputs, right? And they matter. I always like to clarify that we're not at all saying that outputs don't matter. They do. Typically, you need to know your outputs before you can really realistically, feasibly measure good outcomes. The point being, just like you said, Sherry, when we're talking about impact, when we're talking about short-term, mid-term outcomes and long-term impact, we're talking about, you know, the measurable change that's taken place, whether that's serving people as most nonprofits do, whether that's an environmental nonprofit organization, whether that's animal shelter, humane society, making some type of tangible, measurable change in the community or communities that you serve. That's what we're going for. And outputs rarely, if ever, tell us that. So I don't think I added anything to what you said. And I agree. And we hear it on our team all the time. A lot of people will say, oh yeah, we absolutely measure our impact. We have a lot of impact metrics. We dive into that conversation a little bit further. Not always, but oftentimes that really means we have some outputs, we have some marketing metrics, we have some fundraising metrics, but it's not very common that too many organizations have good sound outcome or impact tracking plans or softwares. So yeah. With that being said, I would love to hear from you. You know, what did your team see over the course of 2025? Like I said, you know, the last time we had this conversation was early 2025. Things were starting to shift, but there were so many unknowns for nonprofits in particular. Now that 2025 has come to a close, would love to see and hear, you know, what did you see with your nonprofit clients and how different and how similar maybe was that than what we've seen in past years?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think the one thing that we noticed that really surprised us, and I know it's not a surprise to the nonprofits who lived through it last year in 2025, is that we had a thesis when it came to kind of who we were targeting and who we were selling to prior to 2025, was that the nonprofits who did receive federal grants were our kind of likely group of nonprofits to work with. Because when you think of all the different accountability metrics, often if you had federal funding, you had the highest level of accountability in terms of demonstrating, at least at the very minimal, you had to report outputs. Right. We could debate how much outcome reporting was really being done, but at a maximum or minimum, you needed to report at least solid, defensible outputs. So we were working with many of our customers were federal funded nonprofits. And so when those federal funds just dried up or weren't renewed, it really put a lot of our customers in a really tough spot because they had not yet diversified their funding streams. So they didn't have a large charitable giving arm to their work because they were so reliant and for so long with these funding sources that they, you know, they're delivering domestic violence services. They were delivering reentry services. So these were things that, at least prior to 2025, felt pretty stable, reliable resources and contracts to do their work. So there was definitely a period of disruption where boards, you know, we found that they were pausing, you know, just like, okay, we need to understand what money is gone forever, what money's coming back. And And so that took a moment. But I feel like we're kind of on the other side of that, which makes me encouraged.
Yeah, I think something that's hard to on the front end to like this time in 2025 or, you know, February, March of 2025 is really hard to predict and project. But our team saw not too many, but a few organizations that thought they were going to lose most, if not all, of their funding. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like that was actually in writing. It was in their minds a done deal. And then in a couple of instances, you know, some lawsuits occurred and they, mm-hmm. you know, actually got all of that funding back.
Yeah.
Another client that I'm thinking of thought that they were going to lose a very, very large state contract that was the majority of their funding. And then sometime, not too much time, maybe 4 weeks, 6 weeks passed, and they actually found out that that same contract was coming back to them and in a larger capacity. And so mm-hmm. A lot of unknowns, I think, is the best way that we can yeah. explain what a lot of 2025 was. And like you said, it feels like we're past a lot of that. While at the same time, I know organizations are still hesitant and uneasy in some mm-hmm. ways. Would also love to know how did Sure Impact help your clients navigate that? And obviously, you couldn't take full responsibility or, you know, yes. help them navigate all of those components.
Yeah.
But for those organizations that were already using your platform, they were already measuring their impact, they had good, reliable outputs, outcomes, mm-hmm. and a way to track that, you know, how were they able to use that to their benefit and secure additional funding or new funding?
Yeah, yeah, that's a great question. And it's there's two things that I want to address there. And the first is that what I don't know if people realize this, but when these grants went away or they were uncertain, the nonprofits went to different alternative funding sources. So whether it's now they're pitching private philanthropy or they're writing for grants, maybe they've never written for before. And so the customers that were using Sure Impact, for them, it was very easy to write for those new funding sources because they had demonstrated outcomes. They could clearly articulate their theory of change, show how they are achieving that theory of change, meaning not just saying like, oh, our programs do this and these are the results, but they're able to say, hey, the past 12 months, we served this many people. We did this type of services. We've moved families from instable to stabilization. And we know exactly how many hours of service it takes to get someone stably housed or increase their income to a living wage. And so our customers who had that story at the ready were able to package that, go to private philanthropy, go to foundations, and fill the gaps where the federal funding was cut. And for them, yeah, it might have been they had to go to build a new relationship or go somewhere they've never talked to before, but the message was there. They had the ingredients. And that's really worked for them because those same funders have been bombarded. And I think this is what nonprofit leaders really need to understand is that the private foundations are, you know, some of them who used to have an open call are now closing their application process. And it's an invite only process again, because right. the demand is so great that they can't manage that demand. And so if you have that story at the ready and you can demonstrate how you're creating those measurable results, you're light years above everybody else who's asking for the same money.
Right. Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more. Whether that's communicating to individual donors, whether that's communicating to, you know, major donors, granting organizations, foundations, corporate partners, or back to state and federal grants that do still exist. Mm-hmm. Yeah, being able to measure and then being able to clearly articulate, communicate, you know, the real change that has occurred. And so it's not nearly as common, but occasionally our team will work with clients that have a lot of data. They have too much data. They just don't know, you know, what to do with it, how to mm-hmm. translate it appropriately. Yeah. So I completely agree with what you're saying. Having those core pieces, outputs, outcomes, impacts, theory of change, and other components at the ready, and communicating that clearly definitely sets organizations apart in a grant application, even a verbal conversation, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And something that we've also seen with using a technology solution like Sure Impact specifically is trust. has been in, you know, what I think we saw play out on the national stage last year was this, you know, for the average person, not people like us who are in the work every single day, but maybe this distrust of nonprofits and institutions, and thinking that they weren't producing value in their communities. And when you can say, we are committed to measuring our success so much so that we invest in infrastructure and technology, so we have it at the ready. We're not, you know, giving you some sensational story with a subtext that's results not typical. It's like, this is how we do our work. This is how we do our business. At any time, feel free to come and we can show you our dashboards and we can talk about what we're learning. That elevates a level of a trust and accountability that I think we saw the public craving, which I think is, that's where I think we are hopeful. A mentor of mine years and years ago during the Great Recession said, never waste a crisis. And I feel like the nonprofits who want to rise above and take their organizations and their impact to the next level are in a great position to do so right now.
Right. Yeah. And you raised two really good points that I want to circle back to. The first one being that this isn't just about funding, right? You know that, I know that, we believe that. But I think that sometimes because a lot of nonprofit leaders feel like, oh, well, it's a requirement. Funders are requiring, even demanding that we measure and report our impact back to them. This impact measurement conversation can quickly become more of a compliance-based conversation or approach. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's all wrong if that's what gets organizations to start measuring their impact. It's not all bad. It's a starting point. Mm-hmm. But would love to talk a little bit more about the value and the extreme importance of using impact measurement, program evaluation, whatever we want to call it, as a learning tool, like you just said. Yes, it's a way to establish trust and probably secure more funding, but the value of using these results as internal pieces of information to say, this is what we're doing well. This is the program that's most effective. This is where we're not making a lot of progress. So would love your insights there, because I think that our team sometimes glosses over that and focuses on the funding side a little bit too much. But I love to circle back and have this conversation too.
Yeah. And thank you for letting us have that conversation. That's the reason I got into this work in the first place 25 years ago, was because I remember my very first resume when I was applying to work for the juvenile courts as their deputy director of performance evaluation. And I wanted to use data to solve complex social problems. And at the end of the day, nonprofits exist because there is a problem in our community and they have the solution to solve that problem that a for-profit company just doesn't make a financial sense to solve. And if it did make financial sense to solve it, trust me, some capitalists would have come in and created the business model to solve it. So if you're doing nonprofit work, you have a really important, it's true. Like, your mission is really, really important. It's not about raising money to keep your lights on. It's about changing those lives and circumstances. And if that's at the focus, if that's why we exist, we can't, manage what we don't measure. We can't scale and grow things if we can't prove that it's working or why it's working. And so just taking that, I almost feel like it's an ethical imperative, a moral imperative. I'm a bit of a fanatic about this stuff. But, if you're in the business of social change, you should be measuring and managing to that social change. And that's why you do it. The upside is you also generate more trust. You can raise more money. But at the core, it's why you exist. And therefore, I can't imagine measuring or not managing to what matters most to your organization.
Right. Yeah. Right. And I think from our perspective, just you and I being very much, very biased, but very much being, all about and very pro impact measurement, program evaluation, program improvement. it's super valuable to know where your programs stand. You know, how much are you helping people? You might get a bunch of really phenomenal feedback. It might have a fantastic culture and community. But if you're an education program, you need to know how much people are learning, right? You need to know how much knowledge they're gaining. Are their skills changing? Is this, you know, improving their life from their next step in education or occupationally or monetarily? All of these things can be tracked and measured to some degree. Same with health outcomes and health improvements. I've worked with a variety of health programs, and you know, some of them that don't measure labs, you know, they don't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense when they're at a, you know, a hospital system in the US where that's a requirement for every other program, mm-hmm. or clinic, you know, why is it not? And so completely agree with what you're saying, to use this information internally for, you know, program directors, operations teams, nonprofits as a whole, to have good insights and, yes, turn around and communicate that to funders and other stakeholders, but first and foremost, using it as an internal of information.
Yeah. If I could build on that, I wanted to, because as you were talking, I was thinking about some of the yeah buts I hear, which are essentially, from our experience, they're myths. So I would love to dispel some myths. And the first one is that, you know, there is the overhead conversation where you hear a lot about, well, we have to keep our overhead low, so we can't afford to spend money, whether it's on technology or consultants, to help us measure our impact. Well, the difference is when we talk about that overhead, and I've interviewed hundreds of funders now, they do not believe in, you know, impact measurement, technology, software, consulting, none of it is considered overhead. It's core to doing your business. It's directly serving the people, because you need that, you know, it's a program expense. And so I really want you, like, if people are like, well, we can't afford it. No, you can't not afford to do it, because your funders expect you to do it. They believe you're doing it. They expect it to be put into your programmatic budget as a like cost of doing business. And it's not, you know, when they talk about overhead, they're talking about, and we can debate that on another podcast about what is reasonable or unreasonable overhead. But really, that's more the marketing dollars, the fundraising dollars, those expenses. When it comes to tracking and measuring the work that your nonprofit is doing, that's programmatic expense. So that's the first myth I wanted to clear up. And the second one is related to the true expense, you know, or the complication. It does not have to be complicated and hard. And that, you know, that's essentially why Share Impact does what we do, is to take out the hard. We understand that nonprofit leaders went into their professions because they want to serve the people and they want to be a resource to the public. So, you know, Share Impact is providing a technology tool that's like, hey, we're the data experts. We created a product to take out the hard, so you have the insights you need to deliver better services.
Absolutely. And those are great myths to dispel. So I appreciate you saying that, especially we hear that a lot too. And especially when people are applying for grants specifically, you know, they don't want to fund, they clearly state right here, they're not going to fund, you know, these types of overhead or operational costs. And sometimes that's true. But to your point, typically you can be very honest, very transparent, and find out that in fact, they will cover a lot of those costs, because they are. They're necessary, direct, programmatic costs. So thank you for expounding on those points, and absolutely agree that, you know, I think neither one of us would say that impact measurement or program evaluation is easy per se, but it doesn't have to be confusing. It doesn't have to be complicated. And so to have a good plan in place, to go through a logic model, a theory of change, some of those core exercises, and then to have a tool like Share Impact to take out a lot of those complicated, confusing, and manual processes is absolutely true and very critical to long-term success with impact measurement. Another thing that I remember you saying in a prior conversation that we had, and you've alluded to it a couple of times, that, you know, in crisis situations, so or unknowns or economic downturns, COVID 2025 with a lot of funding cuts. You and I have talked about how organizations that do effectively measure their impact oftentimes come out ahead. And so you've mentioned this a couple of times briefly along the way in today's conversation, but I would love to hear a little bit more from you and just expound on why that's the case and how you've seen that play out at this point, probably in three key scenarios being, you know, 2008, 2009, 2020, 2025. Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear from you. What have some of those patterns been?
Yeah, well, I think you're right. I have talked about it a lot. So I'm like, oh, we've talked about this. But the reason that they come out ahead is because when times are good, when there's lots of abundance, it is not that difficult. I mean, it's always hard, but it's not as difficult to go to a corporate foundation or go to a private donor and get a grant based on a story. But when things get tight and people tighten their wallets, they're going to rationalize their decisions with their brain. They only have so much to go around, whoever the person making the decisions are, and they want that trusted, well-known partner who can demonstrate their results. And so, you know, I've shared stories about in 2020 when dollars had to be dispersed quickly, that we had clients, because they had a long standing track record of measuring the impact and telling their impact, they just got the grants. Like, they didn't have to apply. The money was coming into the community. They got the phone call from the county. It was like, here's $2 million. We know that you can do this well. We also now have seen in 2025, because of some of the organizations, unfortunately, have not been able to continue to sustain, that the successful data-driven nonprofit has been asked by, you know, county entities or their boards of directors to take over these other struggling nonprofits that might not have been data-driven. So it's, you know, kind of not forced, but almost like, here's more resources for you to take over this clinic or take over this nonprofit to absorb it into yours. So now they've expanded and grown their ability to deliver and create impact.
Yeah, definitely. So it's not all bad, not all good by any means, mm-hmm. but it does, these situations lead to typically a lot of camaraderie, a lot of community, a lot of support in a variety of areas. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, like you said, the organizations that are data-driven, the organizations that do have a lot of these, at least the foundation or the skeleton of impact measurement in place, do come out ahead. And to your earlier point, when people say, yeah, but I can't afford to do this, mm-hmm. these are the times when you say, yeah, but you can't afford to not do this. But yeah. It's one of those things where hindsight is 20/20, or, you know, the best time to plant a tree was, you know, 10 years ago. And if you didn't do it then yesterday or today would be great.
Yes. And something that is often not discussed in these topics, but it's something that has fascinated me for two decades now, was when I first published my book in 2014 and was training people all over the country on how to create these impact measurement cultures, you know, very similar work to what Social Impact Solutions does now, helping people develop logic models and creating those impact frameworks. I thought naively back then, oh, I just need, people don't know the how. Let me just train them. Let me write a book that gives them the how. And then we'll be good. We'll be great. And unfortunately, I realized that even if I gave the how, and now even if I build a technology solution to automate a lot of the processes, the number one factor of success actually comes down to a willingness and commitment of the leadership. And so that's a secret. I think it's a secret sauce that nobody's willing to talk about, but I see it every day. And these organizations that I'm talking about who are really successful, you know, and come out rising after these crises, it's because the leadership didn't do it for those reasons that we talked about, right? They didn't, it wasn't a superficial thing. It wasn't a, oh, I'm going to collect this data because it looks good or I'm trying to raise more money. It's no, at the core, they know it's key to the success in the foundation of their nonprofit. And I, that's, I think, why I'm hopeful sometimes is because as we start to see younger leaders come up into the nonprofit ecosystem who've been raised with a very data-driven mindset, for them, it's more normal. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't mean in any way those who've been around for a really long time right. aren't willing to adopt technology and use data. It's just the model is shifted, and sometimes it's hard to see how things are changing when you're used to doing something a different way.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And it's becoming more of a just general conversation in the nonprofit industry. It's becoming more of a requirement from funders, but also other stakeholders, volunteers, nonprofit employees, and other community stakeholders, you know, are very interested in, you know, not putting time, money, effort towards something that is superficial or, you know, doesn't have tangible outcomes. People really want to be invested in something that is creating real positive change. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I completely agree with what you're saying. Really quickly, because of time, and I'm going back and forth on if I should even raise this point, because we could have a whole podcast on this too. But just given what you just mentioned with leadership and the organizations that really do prioritize impact measurement and outcomes as a component of, you know, their core mission and improvement and doing better for the community, why do you think that impact measurement is so rarely part of a strategic plan? Mm. We just did a webinar on this. And so again, I don't want to camp out here too long, but just briefly, how often do you see that missed in a strategic plan and why do you think it's overlooked?
Yes, I think it is often overlooked. And I think the reason why is because the people who sit on, often strategic plans are designed by or co-created with the board of directors and the executive team. The board of directors often come from for-profit entities, and they're used to for-profit companies. So it's not that they're not data-driven and metrics-driven. They typically very much are. It's just in their world, number of people served equals value, right? Because they're paying money. So they're used to metrics like new customers, you know, money. They're not looking at profit, but revenues, right? Budget, expenses. Yeah. So that's the language of corporate boards. And so I really think we need a lot of training for those. And there's no training to be a corporate board member, typically. I mean, a nonprofit board member, right? It's really just, we need an attorney. You're an attorney and you work for a big corporation. So come sit on our board. Mm-hmm. And they want to do good. It's not that they don't. It's just, it's unfamiliar territory. So we need to educate boards on what are the right metrics that they should care about, in addition to the, you know, budget and marketing spend.
Well, Sherry, this has been a really good conversation. I know you and I could talk for hours more about a lot of these components. But as we kind of wrap up today, I would love to hear from you. What's, you know, your top one or 1 to 3 key takeaways, key points that you would love for listeners to walk away with and really be able to implement in Q1 of 2026 as they improve impact measurement processes and maybe for the first time ever, or really trying to just stair-step and grow based mm-hmm. on how things went in 2025.
Yeah, well, I think the new year is a great time to invest and start those impact measurement processes, because if you want a 12-month annual report at the end of 2026, you've got to start collecting data now. And you don't want to wait another year, because who knows what's going to happen over the next 12 months, and you want to be in a position of power, regardless of whatever uncertainty life throws at us, because that's the one thing we know for sure is that we are in uncertain times. there have never been certain times. So let's just embrace the fact that uncertainty is part of life. And if we want to get ahead of it, one of the best ways to do that is to invest in, have access to real-time impact and outcomes data. So, you know, back to your tree analogy, it's it's time. It's time to invest in this. Don't wait. There will never be a good time. So you might as well just start now.
Yeah, definitely. Right. And though things remain uncertain and always will to some degree, this is a way to track some level of certainty, consistency to a degree, right? Mm-hmm. This is a way to say over the last 1 year, over the last 5 years, over the last 10 years, however long, you're tracking this, we've consistently seen this amount of program progress or this amount of organizational growth, this amount of knowledge gained, this percentage of health outcome improvement. I'm making all of this up depending on what an organization does.
Yeah.
And without tracking that, then there's definitely not any certainty or consistency that can be reported on. And so I agree with what you're saying. It can feel challenging. It can feel costly, whether that's true dollar amount, time, brain space. It can feel difficult for organizations to implement this, but I like to say to, start small, stair step at a pace and a rate that's reasonable for the organization. Again, being biased, working with an outside team can be very helpful. Not saying that organizations have to by any means, but that's where our social impact solutions team comes in to partner with organizations and really help them get a good plan and implementation roadmap in place. And then tools like Sure Impact are absolutely critically helpful to serve as more of a technology piece to really consistently capture data and help organizations, not just in the here and now, but over the long term, to keep that process so much less manual, so much more streamlined, keep your data clear. So Sherry, thank you so much.
That's also very secure.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for a wonderful conversation. Thank you so much for all that you and your team are doing for nonprofits. And I'm excited to have follow-up podcast and webinar conversations with you.
Absolutely. Thanks, Lauren.
Thanks.